south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Okay, let's start out today with a couple of emails. A couple of emails. That doesn't mean I'm just getting a couple of emails, man. Let's just say I'm in need of a personal assistant. But then I guess that would mean I'd have to improve my personal hygiene and be nice. So that's out of the question. Just kidding. All right, to the emails. So we'll start with this one from Chase. Now remember, a couple of shows ago I talked about the Philippines and its connection to Latin America, being pretty much that it's one of the only eastern countries that was occupied or conquered by the Spanish at one time. So therefore, they have a large Spanish heritage and most people even speak Spanish. A kind of Spanish, anyway. So, in regards to my blatherings about the Latin connection and the Philippines, wouldn't you know it, there are some expat file listeners out there that actually live in the Philippines or have visited there often. So, Chase says, and I'll paraphrase a bit as usual. Hey, Johnny, on your May 1st show, you mentioned a few things about the Philippines, and I wanted to give you my unsolicited 2 cents. I've spent a lot of time there myself, and my wife is from there, so I have a little background on the place, maybe more than a little. Let me start out by saying the Philippines is a wonderful place, full of beautiful, friendly people with a very Latin vibe. In fact, every time I listen to your show, I laugh at the similarities of the people, culture, and the daily life. There are, however, some warts, just like everywhere else. For example, the Philippine government is a bit foreigner-phobic, so unless you are married to a Filipino, it's very, very difficult to own land or a business. Also, unless you're over there making money on the internet, or running a call center or rice farming, it could be very difficult to make money in the Philippines. However, the people of the Philippines are so warm and inviting that, to first world gringos, it could be a shock. Just like in Latin America, if you get out of the big cities and those damn gringo tourist trails, it's like a whole different country in a very good way. Now, Johnny, you mentioned Muslims and terrorists in the Philippines, and sadly, this is true. However, there is some good news. Seems like they're pretty much all concentrated in the southern island called Mindanao. It would be a red zone on the maps you suggest we all make when we go to Latin America. Mindanao is a place to avoid like the plague. In fact, I even made an overgeneralized map of the country for you. It's included in the download here. I've also included a new category, which I call the black zone. And it's best to treat those black zones like they don't even exist. Even locked car doors won't help you in the black zones. Luckily, all the bad stuff is contained in those specific areas, and traveling around the rest of the country is quite easy, safe, and cheap, just like in Latin America. In conclusion, I have to say that the Philippines is a wonderful place to visit and maybe to retire to if you have a pension or on disability. As for me, I'm way too young to have either of those, so I'm going to get a business base going, not in the Philippines, but in Latin America. For now, my sights are set firmly south of the border. Thanks for the show, Chase. All right, Chase. Always nice to have someone who has boots on the ground experience to give us a report like that. And thanks for the map, too, pointing out the Philippine Islands, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that black hole we should never even get near. And, you know, I'm glad Chase mentioned the fact that you should always draw a map when you get to a new Latin American area. And I'm talking about getting that map right at the airport, immediately after you land. And if you can't get a detailed city or country map at the information desk at the airport, just go to Hertz or Avis Rent-A-Car. They're in every big airport, even down in Latin America. In fact, go to any car rental agency. They're all around the airport, too, even if you don't recognize the company name. And they'll all be glad to give you a free map, even if you don't rent a car. So how do you get a free one out of them if you're not going to rent a car? You just tell them you're going back to your hotel, you're going to study the map and be right back. So are you lying? Maybe not. Anything's possible, right? As long as you say the word might in any sentence, there's always a possibility, right? I mean, you buy a ticket and you just might win the Powerball lottery, right? Or, for example, maybe when Hillary dies, she'll donate her balls to science. Anything's possible. But I digress as usual. That said, when traveling to any Latin country, do get a map at the airport, a detailed map. Even at car rental agencies and airports way off the gringo tourist trail, some worker there will speak English. Then hand them 3 colored pens and have them mark the good, the bad, and the ugly in the city. You know, the places, zones, and districts that are safe 24/7, ones that are safe in the day but iffy at night, and finally the zones and districts that are not recommended day or night. And note, you should always mention to the person at the car rental agency or the person at the information desk at the airport that you'd like to know the areas of the city that are safe, number one, when walking alone, and two, when walking with 2 or more people. Because, you know, there is a difference when you're alone and when you're with 2 or more people. Safety in numbers and all that. Because there are some areas that are very, very safe when you're walking with 2 or more people that can be a bit dodgy when you're walking alone. Ask any backpacker. For example, throughout Latin America, they have these pedestrian overpasses called pasarelas. These pasarelas are constructed over roads all throughout Latin America because down here, the pedestrian does not have the right-of-way. You'll find that out soon enough, I guarantee it. Pedestrians have virtually no rights at all. That's why so many pedestrians get nailed when they're walking across the street. So, since people get run over all the time, they've built these so-called safe overhead walkways. You can't miss them. They're big, constructed out of steel and concrete. Because, you know, in these big Latin American cities especially, they have 6, 7, even 10-lane highways. So how are you going to cross that? Well, believe me, some people try, and that's what you call Darwinism. And the reason why, every so often you'll see emergency vehicles off to the side of the road and a little mound with a tarp on it and some speckles of blood. In fact, last year, 2014, I must have seen dead folks along the side of the road 5 or 10 times myself. In fact, I just missed nailing a drunk guy walking down the road just a couple of weeks ago. Reason number 4,226 why you don't want to drive at night down here. So anyway, they have these pasarelas. Now, fact is, you see, these can be dangerous places if you're walking alone. A lot of pickpockets, a lot of petty theft, etc. Because there are crowds of people passing over these things. In fact, sometimes in busy sections of town, throngs, even walls of sweaty people. And note, only the poor, lower middle class and middle class people use these things. You never see wealthy people on these pasarelas, for good reason. And if you're a lone, stumbling, backpacking gringo who's just kind of taking his good old time looking at his map and sucking on his water bottle, you could be a target for pickpockets and thieves and such, because usually small gangs of thieves will work these things day and night, picking on the inattentive and mostly lone women passerbys. They're the most vulnerable targets. But the fact is, if you're walking with 2 or more people, you'll almost never get bothered because, well, thieves and pickpockets and such select the easiest targets, like lone Latin women and clueless gringos who don't look like they know where they are or where they're going, which is why I never recommend anyone use one of those pasarelas. In fact, I can't even remember the last time I used one. It must have been years ago. Why? Because I've heard way too many stories. In fact, many times when I'm at a middle-class party or a get-together, I'll pop this question to a group of young ladies or young women who I know don't have cars and take the bus everywhere. The question, how many times have you been robbed on one of those pasarelas or just when you're walking around from bus stop to bus stop? Now, when talking to a group of folks that don't have cars, they'll usually answer you quite nonchalantly, as if it's a common, foregone conclusion that, well, you're just going to get robbed every now and again. Just like day turns into night and it rains at picnics, you're gonna get robbed occasionally. The last few ladies I asked, I think it was just a couple of weeks ago, one of them said, I think I was robbed maybe 4 or 5 times either on or near a pasarela. And 4 or 5 times on the bus. Everybody gets robbed on the bus. But it's normally only a cell phone and some cheap jewelry. And it's just so strange the way they say it. No sense of outrage at all. And here's the thing. I found out that most of the time, older ladies don't get robbed. Let's say a 40, 50, 60-year-old doing the bus stop thing and walking across those pasarelas. It seems like ladies who'd been robbed here and there when they were young, they somehow get smart or tough. They're just more careful, carry less valuable stuff, or turn their phones off when they're riding the bus or hanging around bus stops. They also put up a little bit of a fight, that is, some resistance when they see trouble coming. Which is why young delinquents go on to easier prey. Like one middle-class lady on the high side of 40 said to me one time, And she was big, about 50 pounds overweight. She told me, the crooks and thieves, they go after the skinny young ones. Because the older, heavy ladies like her could knock some of these young punks on their asses, and they know it. So bottom line, it seems like every lower middle class and middle class person that uses pasarelas and public transportation expects to get robbed at some time or another. And you don't want to be one of those persons, so avoid chicken buses, public transportation, and those overhead pedestrian walkways called pasarelas. Now do note, when you get one of those city maps and it's all marked out, good, the bad, the ugly, in those very safe areas, those pasarelas will be safe too. However, if you know anything about the highway system in Latin America, especially in the cities, a lot of those pasarelas pass from one good zone to an iffy or a bad zone. So, on one side of that overhead pedestrian walkway could be a very nice upscale first world area, and then when you pass to the other side, all of a sudden, you're in a poverty-stricken lower middle class nightmare. Which is why I say just avoid them altogether. So then, how do you get across one of those big 6 or 7 or 8 lane highways? Well, when walking along those roads, eventually there'll be a cop directing traffic, and he'll either stop traffic, yes he will, and let you through, because why? The gringo advantage, of course. Won't do that for the regular Latins, but he'll do it for the occasional gringo. Oh, and one more thing. Some of these pasarelas actually have a city cop posted at one end or even both ends, so go ahead, use the pasarela. No hay problema, gringo. And by the way, the reason why there will be a cop posted there, because it had been, at one time, a hotspot for thieves and no-good-nicks. And maybe after 100 or 200 or even 1,000 formal complaints, the inept government finally did something about it and put a cop there. So again, get a city map at the airport as you arrive. And of course, if you're staying at a high-class hotel, they'll have a shuttle at the airport that'll take you directly to the hotel, and the hotel will give you a nice map. Not to mention, they almost always have much better ones in greater detail than the government maps that come from the information desk. Oh, and by the way, if you think government tourist bureaus, you'll see their signs everywhere throughout these Latin American countries, especially when you land at the airport. If you think they're any good at promoting tourism within their country, think again. They're just overstaffed with feeble, lazy-minded slugs, just like every other government agency. And when you see what you think is a very nice tourist promotion on TV or in a pamphlet or some poster campaign, the fact is, the reason why it looks so professional and so first world, the promotion that is because they hired a first world advertising agency to put it together. But believe me, when you visit these historical sites that are government run and operated, it's the same old, no water in the bathrooms, no toilet paper, dirty, scruffy pavilions and buildings, lazy, pot-bellied guards with long-distance halitosis collecting your tickets, trying to use as few muscles and brain cells as they can to get through the day. And believe me, they're very successful at that effort. Again, government tourist agencies are run by typical lard-ass slugs with a heavy dose of exaggerated self-importance. And again, I mean that in the nicest way possible. By the way, they generally only get those jobs through nepotism or cronyism. Sound familiar? So, lest you judge a third world government by its glossy first world-like tourist campaigns, just note those glitzy promotions were produced by expensive first world ad agencies. Meanwhile, back at the Latin home front, behind the scenes, things are run by a bunch of lard-ass buffoons. And how can I make that kind of generalization? Well, it's easy. I've had a lot of contact with at least 3 Latin countries' tourism departments and agencies. I've been burned by Guatemala, Costa Rica, and Panama's tourism board. So, who's the dumb one there, huh? And how that happened, I think I mentioned one of those situations on a past show. Let me refresh your memory a bit. If you took a trip down to Latin America and flew on Avianca or Copa or any of the Latin American airlines, including Aeromexico and such, if you watch the in-flight airline movie or the ads on the TV screen, during the commercials they showed very nicely produced tourism videos for the likes of Costa Rica, Guatemala, Panama, Honduras, Peru, etc. Well, chances are if you've flown those airlines and you watch those promos and listen closely, occasionally, just occasionally, you'd hear my unmistakably irritating Midwestern voice. However, even though they used my voiceover and probably still do, I never got paid for it. Oh, I signed contracts and they made promises and such, but bureaucrats lie, politicians steal, and governments change all the time, and Let's just say you don't want to do any contract work with the Latin government unless you absolutely check out every angle. And still, you're taking a chance. The only way in that instance that you're sure to get paid is if you're a friend, a family member, or a crony of the government scumbag that gave you the contract. But you knew that already, right? And that's why when people ask me about doing business with government, I just tell them a few stories of mine and of some other people I know. The fact is, even expat Eddie got burned by the government. Years ago, the Salvador government stiffed him on a series of catered banquets. Not to mention, he has stories of Salvador bigwigs coming into his restaurant and stiffing him for the bill, just walking out. You know who I am, put it on my tab. A tab which they never pay. Here are the unfortunate facts. It's easy enough to get a government contract if you have something interesting that they want, but you've got about a 50-50 chance of getting paid. Unless you're well connected to one of those government scumbags yourself, and in my case it wasn't even 50-50, it was zero. But then again, I've done voiceover work for various Latin American advertising agencies too, there are a lot of them down here, and I can remember two instances where I didn't get paid either. Well, I should say it's not that I didn't get paid, it's just that both times the checks bounced, and they kept bouncing. So there you have a few personal anecdotes about doing business with Latins and Latin governments. Oh, and beware of Latins speaking English that come up to you here in Latin America and have a great business idea they want you to get in on. The unfortunate fact is most of these never seem to work out. Those business ideas down here that really do seem to work out most often come from gringos and expats who start out with their own ideas. Then, often as not, they'll find out they do need to have some Latins in on the deal because maybe their Spanish sucks or they haven't yet had much of a chance to connect with very many Latin people that have the skills necessary to help run that business. Now, I mentioned before about robberies and assaults on buses and on those pedestrian walkways. The ones I mentioned that I never take and don't advise you take either. Now, as far as crimes and misdemeanors in Latin America, every year, the big Latin American newspapers in their particular countries come up with the data on crimes and such and the safest and most unsafe areas in the country to live or hang out. So if you do know a little Spanish enough to read the paper or at least slog through it, whether it's the actual newspaper or online, because they're all online now, you know, you can look these things up yourself for the particular country you're thinking about expatting to or visiting. That said, let me give you the latest crime stats in Guatemala from the biggest Guatemalan newspaper. They came out just last week. So let me pick out some of the more relevant points here. It says, for the year 2014, here are the five Guatemala cities and municipalities with the least amount of crime. They are San Pedro Zacatepeques, 2, Conuego, 3, San Jacinto, 4, San Jose El Idolo, and 5, Zunelito. It's not that they had low crime statistics, it's that they've had no crime statistics. No reported crimes at all. None. Why? Again, because these are small towns under 50,000 people, and small towns like that throughout Latin America are generally self-policing because the cops are beyond ineffectual and way past useless. Everyone knows the cops are just sitting on their dead asses glued to a chair in the cop shop, or basically hiding. So, the people have their own kind of neighborhood watch, wouldn't you? And then this news article goes on to list the four places that have the most crimes and assaults in Guatemala. Number one, in Guatemala City itself, Zone 7, Zone 8, and Zone 18. Now remember, Guatemala City has got 25 zones. And the next most crime-ridden city, Villanueva. Then comes Misco, then Escuintla, then finally Villa Canales. So naturally, those are the places you absolutely want to scratch off your list as far as living, playing, and or retiring, or doing business. Oh, and by the way, those of you who have been listening to my show for a long, long time know that I mention there are actual lynchings in Latin America. Yep, you know, where they either hang you from a tree, throw a tire around your head and light it, or they might publicly stone you, or the public might gather in the Central Park and just beat the hell out of you. Everyone getting their kicks, and I mean kicks as in a boot to the head. Now, it's not willy-nilly. They only do it to incorrigible repeat offenders. So anyway, according to last week's news article, it says, in the year 2015, which isn't even half over yet, there have been a total of four lynchings in Guatemala. And get this, all those lynchings were in small towns that have very little crime. And I guess that's why they have very little crime. You get lynched for it. Now, some of you out there might think that's crude, rude, and barbaric. There's nothing that drives the fear of the Lord or Buddha or whatever into you more than if you're seeing someone stoned in the city square. That'll make a kid think twice about stealing your smartphone. Oh, and here's the homicide statistics. It says, now listen closely, 48% of the homicides in 2014 were perpetrated for the motive of revenge. 22% perpetrated by gangs against gang members. 23% narcos killing narcos. Now, if you add those numbers up, 83% of all the murders, the homicides in Guatemala in the year 2014 were not due to random acts of violence against the general population. According to these statistics, 83% of homicides occurred in very congested poor and lower middle class neighborhoods. And get this, 83% of those people were killed by others who knew them personally. And that's why every once in a while I'll remind you to mark the good, the bad, and the ugly zones and districts on your city map. Which means, as far as Guatemala is concerned, and it's a great representative example of all Latin American countries, if you stay away from those dangerous and crime-ridden areas that are marked out on your city maps, most likely you'll never be the victim of a crime, serious or otherwise. Just like up in the States, when you're somewhere you've never been before, you keep your eyes open, you dress down, and you work, play, and hang out in the nicer areas of town. That's it. The other day I was talking to a first-world gringa who is living down here in Latin America now, and she just started driving. And I noticed, after a couple of months on the road now, she no longer seems to be driving like a reserved, polite, nice gringa. You learn fast that your first-world driving habits don't quite mix with the chaos and the bad roads and the terrible civil engineering that goes into them. That said, just remember who you're driving along those roads with. People who break the rules of the road with impunity. Not to mention the other obstacles, the mega potholes, the motorcycles driving on the sidewalk and clipping your rearview mirror and scratching your car door, the traffic lights that occasionally don't work or are totally out of sync, and all those reversible highways they have in so many cities, where suddenly, at practically any time of day, a four-lane road you're used to driving on might suddenly be a two-lane road with half the traffic suddenly diverted in the opposite direction, usually at night. In fact, way back when I was in engineering school, the instructors used to say, never forget that the bottom 10% of a graduating class ends up working for government. They're either lazy, stupid, dishonest, or all of the above. Anyway, this gringo lady, a new driver, is now taking chances she never would have taken up in the first world, because if she doesn't, she's just not going to survive very well on the roads down here. Now, she pointed out a few observations to me that are worth noting here. And all expats who drive will kind of get this. One is that even though most times it looks like complete chaos on the road here, there is a certain underlying driver's etiquette here in Latin America that makes things flow, kind of. For example, if you're waiting to merge on a very crowded, busy street, even though the traffic's moving at a snail's pace, Latin drivers, even if they're terribly late themselves, will give you the space to merge. And they'll give you a little flick of the headlights to let you know they're going to let you in. Now, about using your horn. Latin drivers have devised a kind of a code with their horns that takes a while for us gringos to learn. Though it might seem like it, they're not just blasting away to annoy you. For example, a very tiny tap might mean to the guy in front of you who's falling asleep that it's time to run that red light or that stop sign. And a couple of tiny taps could mean, thanks for letting me merge. Or, hey buddy, you're going the wrong way down a one-way street. No problem, but just don't hit me. Now, a medium hit on the horn could mean you're holding up traffic, go a little faster. And a hard, long, angry blast is road rage foreplay, especially when it's coming from a guy in a cowboy hat and a very beat-up pickup truck. Now, note that many Latin drivers are into hand signals simply because their turn signals or brake lights have been busted out in the back or they just don't work. You'll see a lot of that down here, and the cops do not stop people or pull them over or give them tickets for that. Why? Because they're the biggest offenders themselves. If the cops would just fine people for having unsafe vehicles, they could balance the budget and eliminate the national debt. No, I take that back. It would just foster bigger government and more pigs at the trough. So anyway, you'll see drivers giving hand signals here all the time, along with hand signals you've never seen before. For example, drivers of some of the worst shitboxes have a signal that they're going to merge, and they don't care if you let them in or not. They're going to merge. What have they got to lose if they scratch your car with their rust bucket? You're the one with the insurance, not them. So, like I said, driving here in Latin America is not for the faint of heart. But if you compromise a bit and break some of the infinitely flexible driving rules down here, you'll eventually be able to get around without a major hemorrhoid flare-up. Maybe. Oh, and leave the Glock at home. Oh, and by the way, I always advise you drive with your windows all the way up. Just get used to it and turn on the AC if you're stuffy. Now, there is an exception to that rule. That's if someone just won't let you make a turn or get into another lane, or you find it's just impossible to merge. Now, like I said, most Latin drivers will let you merge, but the chicken bus drivers have their own complete set of rules. They're animals. They'll often just stop in the middle of the road without pulling over, and you're stuck wedged between them, or they won't let you merge because they're blocking the on-ramp. Now, that's where, if you're a woman, the Latin macho thing and the gringa advantage will get you safe passage in a hurry. That's the moment when you want to roll your window down a bit and let them see that you're a gringo or a gringa. Then, surprise, surprise, they'll let you right through. So, even if you're not handsome or a beauty queen, you've got that advantage. Now, off the gringo tourist trail, that'll work almost every time. However, if you try that in Costa Rica, the other guy just might snarl and give you the finger. Okay, that said, just a little plug about my January 2015 Latin American seminar, Off the Gringo Tourist Trail in Central America. If you want a great way to get your plan B in action, just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin seminar link, and check it out. I don't have to tell you guys and gals things are getting bad up in the States. I'm preaching to the choir, I know, but still, a lot of you listeners are sitting on the fence as if your pants were stuck on a nail. Well, just remember, because of all that U.S. pressure, the doors are closing fast on travel, getting residency and citizenship in a foreign country, opening bank accounts, and more. And I hope you know the time will come when you can't even transfer your wealth out of the country anymore. Currency controls have already started. Just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin seminar link, come on down, get your boots on the ground, and get a plan B while you still can. We'll not only help you with it, but we'll hook you up with all the right people.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.